الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension, and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. From the early dawn of the Muslim Ummah and the advent of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the enemies of Islam have striven to destroy Islam with all means and powers which they were given. The enemies of Islam are too many to enumerate, and those who are envious against us are also too many to count. But from among the most wicked and evil of enemies ever are the Jews. May Allah curse them. There isn't a single major calamity or fitna or trial that has befallen this ummah except that you will find that the Jews are somewhere in the background. They're somewhere involved, whether it is apparent or hidden. The thing which makes the Jews act this way against all religions is because they suffer from a psychological problem. This psychological problem which they suffer from is the fact that they consider themselves to be Allah's chosen people, and that they are the children of Allah. Allah is exalted above what they say, and His beloved. They are Allah's children and those beloved to Him. And that the rest of the creatures on earth, the rest of the generations, or the rest of the people on earth, are nothing but animals who are supposed to be subjugated to their own oppression. So there is no harm, according to the Jews, that they take away anything which belongs to any other society or community without them feeling that they have done something wrong or they have oppressed anyone. The Jews consider themselves to be from the progeny of the prophets, which connect them all the way to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Furthermore, they consider this connection alone sufficient for them to be virtuous and to be preferred over people, regardless of whether they adhere to the belief system, regardless of whether they act according to the teachings of the prophets and the messengers or not. And they furthermore brag and boast that Allah has chosen Musa from among them, and Allah gave him the Torah, and it is the first of the scriptures, the first of the major scriptures. Of course, we believe in the Suhuf Ibrahim, the scriptures of Ibrahim, which we don't have much knowledge of, but the Torah we have some knowledge of. It was mentioned abundantly in the Quran. So they brag about that, and they feel that this is again a reason for them to be the best nation out there versus the rest of the people. The Shaykh said, "And it remains, O slaves of Allah, the dreams which the Jews have to regain the dominion of David and Solomon, Dawood and Sulaiman alayhim salatu salam, that they believe that they should take over and rule this world because they believe that they have the divine right to do so." Allah Azza wa Jal had given the Jews back then an abundance of wealth and sovereignty, but they did not maintain it, nor did they fear Allah concerning it. But they were always hasty to break the covenants, so they disobeyed Allah, and they spread corruption on earth, and they were oppressive. And so much so, then they started to actually attack their prophets and their messengers. They used to attack their prophets and their messengers, those and anyone who tried to advise them. History records how many prophets they have killed and how many covenants they have broken in comparison to the rest of the nations. In fact, all this has been clearly mentioned in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal had informed us why they believe it's lawful for them to wrong anyone. Allah Azza wa Jal says, "And among the people of the book are those whom if you entrust with some wealth,
He will return it to you. And among them are those if you are in trust with a dinar. Let's say 1 riyal. He will not return it to you until you remain over his head reminding him. This is because they say, we don't have any right. There's no right for the Ummiyin. The Ummiyin are actually the Muslims. And anyone who wasn't a Jew, to them who wasn't of the people of the book. Because the people of the book were known as the literate and the lettered. And those who did not receive scriptures were considered to be illiterate and unlettered. So this is their claim. And they say about Allah lies while they know. They know that this is not lawful for them. But they would lie against Allah Azza wa Jal, and they could care less about the consequences. The Shaykh then went on to give us the actual history of the Jews per the Quranic teachings. And he mentioned a number of things. I will try to summarize, to be frank with you, because it's a little extensive. And I'm sure most of you have read the Quran or are familiar with the story of Bani Israel. But let us just go directly to what happened with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. That at the time of Musa, through his leadership, they were taken out of Egypt because they were being persecuted by Fir'aun and his people. And as you all know, Allah Azza wa Jal saved Musa and his people, and he was able to split the ocean by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they crossed the ocean. When Fir'aun and the people went after them, Allah Azza wa Jal caused them to drown. Now as soon as they passed the Sinai desert into the sacred land of Philistine, they complained to him and his brother Harun that they are hungry and thirsty. And so Allah Azza wa Jal caused some water to come out from a stone. Who can tell us how many were they by raising the hand? 12. Give this to the Shaykh. The brother sitting. Barakallah feek. I'm not going to do this every time. Today is a special day. So, Jazakallah khair. 12 actually. Each, because there were 12 tribes. And each tribe had a leader. And each one was given their own, call it a small river, right? So that they may drink water, so there will be no confrontation, there will be no dispute between them. And after that happened, of course you all know that when they made it to the other side, they saw some people worshipping a calf, and they said, you know, why don't you give us a God like they have a God? You know, after Allah saved them from all this, they see people worshipping a statue, and they requested that they get something similar. You know, this was their attitude always and forever, except those who were righteous among them. And there were some who were righteous among them. Furthermore, they went on with Musa to the mountain of Tur. Him and 70 among them who were chosen. And then they worshipped the calf, which was the idea of As-Samiri. Everybody knows this in Surah Taha. Musa alayhi salam returned and he found them in the state of worship in the calf. Allah Azza wa Jal offered them tawbah by killing themselves. Meaning they were to kill each other as means of repentance. And when they started doing so, Allah Azza wa Jal accepted their repentance and He raised that rule from them. They were no longer expected to do it as mercy from Allah. Then they went on to say, O Musa, we will not believe in you until you make us see Allah plainly. They requested that they want to see Allah. And can anyone see Allah in the dunya? Can the Muslim see Allah in the life to come? Yes or no? In the dunya, cannot happen. When Allah revealed some of His majesty, as in Surah Al-A'raf, to the mountain was crushed and Musa fainted when he requested to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can see Allah. So they said, we will not believe until you make us see Allah plainly. And of course they were punished with the sa'iqa. So Allah Azza wa Jal caused them to die. Then He resurrected them and gave them life again. So then they went back to obedience. And Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that Musa will take from them a covenant that they shall act upon the teachings of the Torah. But again, they started to abandon the teachings and they were threatened again. They were told not to go fishing on the Sabbath. Sabbath, Saturday was a day of rest for them. So what did they do in order to trick you know, the teachings of their own religion, they were prohibited from fishing on Saturday, so they would go put the net in the water on Friday and go collect the fish on Sunday. And they say, we weren't doing any business on Saturday. But they, what were they doing? Some Muslims do this today, by the way. If something they don't like, you know, is haram, then they give it a new name and they find another way to do it, and they say, this is not like that. That is the same approach. This is the way of the Jews. You are not allowed to work. Putting it on Friday, picking it up on Sunday, it defeats the purpose of you not being concerned about the dunya. So this was how the Jews were. Again, Allah Azza wa Jal turned them into apes, monkeys. Allah cursed them by turning them into apes and monkeys. Wal-iyadu billah. And Musa went with them to the Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa, so that they may enter there fighting in the cause of Allah. And he chose 12 among them, the Asbat. Maybe you've come across this word in the Quran. And he told them to go and explore the land. When they made it to Palestine, they found that the land was full of wealth, and it was a prosperous place. He said, you know, تَدُرُّ لَبَنًا عَسَلًا. There was milk that was as sweet as honey. This was the goods that were there in that land. So then they were requested to go in there. They said, no, but there are some strong people there. And so they said, we will not enter until they leave. Two among the leaders told them, enter. If you enter, then Allah Azza wa Jal will give you victory over them. And depend on Allah if you are truly believers. They said, O Musa, we shall not enter this land until these people leave. And then they went on to say, you go and fight with your Lord. You and Allah go fight against them. We will sit right here and wait. Unbelievable attitude. Allah Azza wa Jal punished them by depriving them from entering the land for 40 years. 40 years they were wandering in the land. Just going around in the land, they had no stability. They were like living in the desert. Because of this punishment from Allah Azza wa Jal, when they were offered to enter in jihad, they refused, so they were prevented from ever entering this place for 40 years. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam actually died, and along with his brother Harun, during that period. Then eventually they were able to open the land with Yusha ibn Nun. When Allah Azza wa Jal allowed them to enter the land, He told them, enter in a state of prostration. Udkhulul baba sujjadan wa qulu hitta. Enter in a state of prostration meaning in humiliation to Allah, and say hitta. Hitta mean to shed, meaning shed our sins. Like the tree sheds its leaves, they were supposed to ask Allah so that their sins may be forgiven. Instead, they didn't enter. The scholars say they entered with their dragging their behinds on the ground. How wicked they are. They didn't enter in sujood. They entered by dragging their behinds on the ground. And instead of saying hitta, they were saying hinta, which is like a grain. It's a form of grain. So neither did they obey Allah in the manner they should enter, nor did they obey Allah in what they're supposed to say. This was the quality of the Jews. Unbelievable people. I mean, if you think about it, say, no way somebody will do this. But they did this over and over and over again. And the situation remained like that with them while they were full of arrogance. And then they had a time where they were qudat. They were judges who were actually running the country, if we may say, according to the law of the Torah. But then sins became widespread among them. And those leaders, al-ahbar, started to turn the very teachings of the religion into a business. You give me enough fulus, I will give you a fatwa accordingly. So they started to twist around the teachings, omit verses, add verses, misinterpret verses of the Torah, all in manipulation so that they could please the masses. Because they were given status among them, they were getting their income from them. So they changed the deen of Allah while they know. يحرفون الكتاب. They will misinterpret and distort the very book which they had. And this remained their condition until Allah Azza wa Jal commanded them to have a leader. And the leader was Talut. Now, when Talut was given to them, again they complained. And they said, how can Talut be given sovereignty or royalty over us? And we have more of a right than he does. And he doesn't have a lot of money. So the refutation came from Allah Azza wa Jal, that verily Allah chooses among His creation whomever He wants, and Allah has increased him, Talut, بسطة في العلم والجسم. He was stronger in body and stronger in knowledge. And verily Allah gives the dominion to whomever He wills, and Allah is vast and all-knowing. Finally, they entered with Talut. Many of them turned away from jihad. Those who remained actually fought against the other people, and they were given victory, and they were able to retrieve the sovereignty or the kingdom of Dawood and Sulaiman. So the Jews became great again, except that they were not able to remain upright on the religion. So they became corrupt, and they spread corruption in the land, and they distorted the deen of Allah, and they changed His teachings. And the prophets used to come to them one after the other. They would kill whoever amongst them they did not like, and the people in charge of them turned it into a business. And this was the condition until Allah Azza wa Jal took away what He had initially given them, and Allah Azza wa Jal made them a cursed nation until the Day of Judgment. It's probably the most hated people. I mean, there's no dispute about that. Even us Muslims, you know, as much as the kuffar hate us, in terms of the nation which is hated by all, usually it's the Jews. Except that people, due to political reasons, have to keep some good relationship with them outwardly. But inwardly they hate them. With us, they don't have to show that they like us. They can tell us to our face that they hate us. With the Jews, they have no choice. Even Hitler, you know, he tried to annihilate the whole thing. He tried to get rid of the whole nation. You know, and so this is one of the things that he tried doing. He wasn't successful because Allah decreed they will remain, and Muslims will fight against them, and we will be the ones who will be chopping their heads, inshallah ta'ala. The Shaykh said, you must know that the Jews know very well that Islam is the true religion of Allah, and that Islam abrogates, meaning it invalidates all of the religions which preceded it. Allah told us about that in the Quran. And when a book came to them from Allah, the Quran, confirming what is with them, the Torah, and they used to before that say to the Quraysh's, to the Kuffar, that we are expecting a messenger to come. They knew that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was coming. And when he came and they recognized him, they disbelieved in him. So Allah says, فَلَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. So Allah's curse may be upon the disbelievers. In another ayah Allah says, those who know the book, those who have given the book, they know him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same way they know their children. Do you ever, you know, get lost or get confused when you see your child? Say, is this my son or not? No. You know your son may be 20, you know, kilometers away. If you see him walking, you know how he walks. They recognize the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like they recognize their children. However, and a group of them will conceal the truth while they have perfect knowledge of that. What are some of their crimes? Some of their ancient crimes is killing the prophets, including Zakaria and Yahya. And they tried to kill Isa alayhi salam, but of course Allah raised them up to Himself and Allah saved them. And they tried to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam many times. They actually were the reasons behind, they are the ones who brought the various tribes among the kuffar at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that they may, you know, ally with one another against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims. They are the ones who spread the rumors that Uthman was killed. They are the ones who they are the ones behind the fabricated narrations against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which many people send in the emails today. They are the ones behind them. And I'll add one for you. The Shia, the first Shi'i who started the whole thing was a munafiq. His name is Abdullah ibn Saba, and he was a Jew who pretended to be a Muslim. This is the tree from which the fruits that you see today come. Many people have a misunderstanding about that. We are in total opposition with these people. Total opposition. Don't be fooled by the turban and the long beard and the black cloak. Don't be fooled by that. Many people wear different kind of clothes. The essence of our belief system is in total contradiction with these people. It is sufficient that they believe that Abu Bakr and Umar were kuffar. And it is sufficient that they accuse Aisha of fornication. And it is sufficient that they say that Jibreel made a mistake. But instead of going to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave revelation. Instead of going to Ali, He gave revelation to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Allah for 23 years. And it is sufficient and sufficient what they have done across, you know, the passage of time, which is not hidden to anyone. So we need to be very careful about these political realities which Muslims are facing today, and there's much confusion about them. They think, well, we're all Muslims. You know, Habibi, you can enter this masjid by saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and you could leave this masjid by prostrating to an idol, even if you were saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You enter Islam and you leave Islam. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites whom Allah said would be in the lowest part of the hellfire, they used to establish the salah and pay the zakah and do hajj and even go out in jihad. And they were in the sight of Allah worse than the Jews and the Christian and every kafir on earth. They were saying the shahada on a daily basis. That didn't benefit them. So not everyone who says the shahada remains within the boundaries of Islam. There's an entrance, there's an exit. Yeah, you may enter with the shahada and you may exit in many different ways. The shahada becomes void with some of the behaviors that the people do in this day and time. So I hope that is clear to the crowd. Among the other crimes which they have is that they are the ones who strove to stop the Muslims from ruling by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they wanted to replace that with man-made laws, or what they call today secular democracy. And they are the ones behind it. And Ataturk, when he took leadership, this was among the means, and the people behind it, as the Sheikh mentioned, were again the Jews. And every single war that has been established against the Muslims also includes the Jews. So we need to be careful of them very much. Those who continue to criticize and belittle the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are again the Jews. And they do this today in all kinds of ways. Hollywood is owned by the Jews. And most of the cartoon that our children watch are actually made by the Jews. And all of these cartoons have subliminal messages. They have hidden messages aimed at destroying our belief system and our understanding. Even the simplest example, Aladdin, which is a very famous cartoon from Disneyland, is out there to portray the Muslims and anybody else to be among, you know, the thieves and robbers and so on and so forth. It's always, any movie you watch in Hollywood, the Muslims are always the worst people. That's just a part of the brainwashing which they have with all the nations. And Allah told us in the Quran, and really you will hear from those who have been given the book before you, and from those mushrikeen, adhan kathira, plenty of harm. You will hear a lot of criticism. South Park, criticizing or making fun of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's also ran by the Jews. All of these cartoons which were made against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jews are involved directly or indirectly. This is something that we need to be very careful of. Then the Shaykh mentioned at the end of the khutbah that the Jews, may Allah curse them until the Day of Judgment, who are among the worst enemies that we have. This is for the testimony of Allah in the Quran. Verily, Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'idah 82, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودُ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. You will find among the people those in with great enmity. The greatest enmity against the believers are the Jews and those who are polytheists. Those who have the highest level of enmity and hatred to the believers are the Jews and the mushrikeen. This is why they are those whom Allah is angry with. This is why they are those who have attained Allah's wrath. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal every day 17 times minimum, if you only pray the fara'id. If you pray the nawafil also, 40 times. We ask Allah to guide us to a path, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, other than the path of those who have acquired or attained your wrath, and those who are misled. According to some of the narrations and the tafasir, the مغضوب عليهم are the Jews, and the ضالين are the Christians. These are our, and we ask Allah to give us a way other than theirs, but somehow some Muslims fall into the trap of imitating them, which is major contradiction. If we want to be different than them by asking Allah, then we should apply this in our lives. So the Shaykh said, that means that we need to reflect upon the Quran more, because everything that was mentioned predominantly was from the Quran. And many people bring some other views, political views, which contradict what Allah already told us. But we as believers need to know that Allah described them to us, so we cannot think something else about them. If Allah told us A, B, C, you don't say, no, that's not really what it is. There's something else, and then we give our own interpretation or explanation. How Allah described them is the most adequate and suitable description. And we need to be satisfied with that. And not claim otherwise. Allah said, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Verily, we did not leave anything out. There's no negligence in this book whatsoever. Everything that the Muslims need to be guided has been mentioned. And that actually concludes the khutbah translation. Now next week, inshaAllah ta'ala, I have a khutbah in Mushrifa Dawah Center, which means I will not be here. Now for those who want to come here, that's your local masjid. For those who wish to listen to khutbah in English, then you're welcome to go to the Mushrifa Dawah Center on Sab'een Street above Tihama Bookstore. Don't go 5 minutes before the salah. Go an hour early and get the reward of waiting in the masjid rather than coming at the end. It's on the third floor. There's a minbar and the whole nine yards. It's an official khutbah in English. Of course, there will be Arabic there in terms of quotations of the verses, the ayat of the Quran and the hadith. But generally speaking, the discussion will be in English. If you wish to come, then all of you are welcome. I have one more DVD, which someone has to win. So let me ask a question here, and we'll see who can give us the correct answer. You must raise your hand though, please. There's an ayah in the book of Allah which proves that no one will be punished until they are given a warning or until a message has been delivered to them. Afwan? Okay, but لا. You're right, but you're wrong. You're right in terms of the ayah, but you're saying the ayah and the opposite. You're actually saying, and we will punish the people. وَمَا كُنَّا حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. MashaAllah. So that's the, there you go. Surah Al-Isra. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We were never to punish people until a messenger has been sent. So if you ever given da'wah and somebody tells you, okay, what if people were living in a jungle and they never heard about Islam? They will still go to hell? And then you get confused. Say, oh, well, this is the evidence. Allah said no one will be punished until a message has been delivered. They did receive a message, their affair is with Allah. You see what I'm saying? So congratulations, bro. JazakAllah khair. Anything else? Assalamu alaikum.